Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, April 9, 2015. Authorities in Western Equatoria welcome President Kiir's decree ordering cattle keepers to leave Central and Western Equatoria states.
Some farming areas now have become so hard because of the movement of cattle, which has caused land erosion. Thousands of people have been displaced from their villages.
And a South Sudanese official accuses the Sudanese Air Force of bombing villages in northern and western Bahr al-Ghazal states.
Antelope planes are still bombarding areas around western Bahr al-Ghazal county of Raja and northern Bahr al-Ghazal states. The attack is presumed to be coming from neighboring Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least four people were killed and nine wounded in a bombing raid in northern and western Bahr al-Ghazal states. Officials say the aerial bombardment started yesterday in Awil West County and continued into this afternoon. VOA fellow Michael Atit has this story.
Awil West County Executive Director Joseph Akwey says a total of 12 bombs were dropped on heavily populated areas in the two northern states. Among the areas targeted were Nyibol Market, Moyoma Kurel, and Moyoma Ngok, he says. Akwey says four civilians died on the spot, while nine others were hospitalized at Marial Bay Primary Health Care Unit. He says the entire population is on high alert for any further attacks. Akwey says Sudanese forces carried out the deadly air raid. He is calling on the South Sudan government to intervene and stop what he calls the continuous aerial bombardment of the people of South Sudan by Khartoum. Daniel Akol Ding is the Minister of Parliamentary Affairs for the Northern Bahr al-Ghazal state. He also pointed the finger at Sudan for bombing raid. Akol says Sudan has been bombing South Sudan for years, quote, without any reasonable reason, end quote. He called the most recent attack as an aggression and warns that if the air raid continues, they could lead to a new war between the two neighbors. South Sudan seceded from Sudan after a civil war that lasted decades. Presidential spokesman Ateng Wek Ateng confirmed in a news conference today in Juba that there was a bombing raid in northern and western Bahr al-Ghazal.
Antelope planes are still bombarding areas around western Bahr al-Ghazal county of Raja and northern Bahr al-Ghazal states. The attack is presumed to be coming from neighboring Sudan.
Sudan and South Sudan have accused each other of supporting rebels in the areas near the border that were targeted in the bombing raid. According to the officials, the latest bombardment is the third time this year that the northern border of South Sudan has come under aerial attack. Sudan has been blamed each time. Attempts to reach the Sudanese Minister of Information for comment on this story were unsuccessful. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Washington.
Abraham Agod reported on that story from Awil in northern Bahr al-Ghazal, and Waki Simon Wudu reported from Presidential Spokesman Ateng Wek Ateng's news conference in Juba. When child abduction and cattle raiding were rampant in rural areas of Jonglei State as recently as 2011, many villagers fled and resettled near Bor, where they hoped close proximity to government headquarters would mean more security. But villagers claim children are still being abducted within a few kilometers of the state's governor's office, and police have failed to do anything about it. Philip Thorna Liu has the story from Bor.
On February 15th, a young Makwach was using panga to cut small bushes near her home at Wunchol Jog village as her grandchildren, Abiyar and Malwal, fled nearby. The 65-year-old was clearing more play space for the children at the compound, some 5 kilometers east of the Jonglei state capital of Bor. It was the last time Ayak saw her grandchildren. Ayak did not want her voice recorded. Her neighbor, Mary Atho, who witnessed the children's abduction, describes what happened in Dinka. She says Ayak jumped in and tried to rescue the children, but the raiders push her away and snatch the kids. The two children, aged 2 and 4, belong to Ayak's youngest son. Atho describes them as simply lovely. Atho says the two children were the mother's only and both were taken away. The village of Wunsholjok was mostly forest land in 2010, but became congested in December 2011 when villagers began fleeing their homes in search of safety as child abductions and cattle raiding occurred more and more frequently in rural areas. Pastoral communities like this village in Jonglei State often trade accusations about cattle raiding. This village is inhabited by members of the Dingabo tribe. Residents accuse Murle tribemen of the Greater Pibor administrative area of carrying out each and every raid, something Pibor authorities deny. But whoever is behind the kidnapping of a young Makwach's grandchildren and many other attacks in villages like Wunsholjok is forcing people to flee and seek refuge in towns where they cannot farm and provide food for themselves. Isaac Mameruk, the commissioner of Bor County, says kidnappings and cattle raidings have been on the rise in recent weeks, including one this week in Jalepayam, 50 kilometers north of Bor. 80 cows were stolen, the same place where 5 people were killed in a separate attack in January. Mamir says, despite this upsurge in raids and child abductions, he is determined to provide better security for villagers so they can farm this year.
It is a great challenge to the county administration for these daily attacks. The county administration plus organized force in the area, we are going to have a security meeting to review our security strategies.
Mamir says there are soldiers stationed in every administrative unit headquarters in Bor County, but there are only a handful of residents. Bishop Ruben Akudidangong of Anglican Church of Bor Diocese says this new wave of attacks diminishes villagers' chances of cultivation this year.
It has scared many people. They came back again from the villages to town. Some been has gone back to Awaria, and even some has gone back to Equatoria or to refugee camps. But the problem now is we are going to have a serious food security problem, because it is now rainy season, but many people are now in Botown who are supposed to go back to the villages and cultivate, but they are fearing going out.
Akudit says another reason people do not have confidence in assurance from authorities about improved security is because there is no end in sight of the nearly 16 months old conflict. He says authorities must do more to regain the trust of the people before farming can resume in the villages. David Guy is the director of South Sudan Red Cross in Jonglei State. Part of their work includes helping villagers resettle and attend to their farms. Guy says insecurity remains a huge obstacle to food security.
We encourage the people to be more resilient, to be more capable of producing their food, and they remain food secure. Because if we don't do this one, then people will remain permanently vulnerable.
Back in Wunsholjok village, many locals are determined to protect their families and property and stay on. A group of men crack jokes as they communally erect a hut.
Come down, go outside.
But beneath this jovial mood, villagers say they fear what will happen after nightfall and what they will find at daybreak. For VOA News, I'm Philip Tonaleo in Bor.
President Salva Kiir issued a presidential order last night calling on herders to leave central, eastern and western Equatorial states. Pastoralists have long taken their cattle to the Equatorial region in search of pasture land. In recent years, they have also gone there to escape fighting in other parts of South Sudan. Their heavy presence in the region has caused friction with farmers, as Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba.
Farmers in the three states have long complained that cattle are trampling and eating their crops, and this threatens their livelihoods. Mr. Kiir's spokesman, Atieni Wek Atieni, told the reporters the presidential order was issued to give farmers in the Equatorial region a chance to tend to their land without being impeded by the herders' cattle. A large portion of South Sudan's farm produce comes from the Equatorias.
This presidential order came as a response to the Greater Equatoria farmers' calls for pastoralists from other states of South Sudan who have come to settle in Greater Equatoria, be it voluntary or forced by security in their respective origins, to observe order on how to keep their cattle under control so that they could not be harmful to the crops, farms, by the farmers in Greater Equatoria area.
Attorney says the herders are being ordered to return to their home states and regions. They come mainly from Lakes, Jonglei, and Warab states, but some are from Terkeka County in the north of central Equatoria state, he says. Attorney says those who ignore the presidential order will pay the price.
If there are people who will not adhere to the order, they will finally end up in the court of law so that they are prosecuted.
He says several government ministries will make sure the order is obeyed.
So it is incumbent upon the law enforcing agencies to implement the order of the president, especially the Ministry of Defense and Veteran, and then Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Justice, okay? And you name those relevant ministries that can implement the law.
In January this year, the authorities in Western Equatoria State organized talks between herders and farmers to try to prevent tensions between the two groups from flaring up into violence. Last month, officials in Central Equatoria State warned that if the government did not intervene to try to find a solution and the herders' cattle are allowed to continue encroaching on the farmers' land, there could be open fighting between the two groups. Local chiefs have also been leading dialogue between the two groups. Herders have moved with their cattle through the Equatorias in search of grazing land for as long as many South Sudanese can remember. The difference today is that many of the herders are heavily armed, raising fears that an argument with a farmer could rapidly turn deadly. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
The deputy governor of Western Equatoria State says farmers are welcoming President Kiir's orders to cattle keepers from Jonglei and Warab states to leave parts of Central and Western Equatoria states. Sapana Abui says the presidential order comes at a time when the relationship between farmers and cattle keepers in his state is very volatile.
In the last 3 weeks, tension is increasing between cattle keepers and the farmers in the state. I left Yambio on Monday, the 6th of April, came to Meridi to solve a dispute and a quarrel in Meridi between the cattle keepers and the farmers. I spent a whole day there, and then on Tuesday proceeded to Mvolo, whereby 3 people just have been killed by cattle keepers, and tension was high among the people there. Then I left Mvolo yesterday. Now I'm in Muntri West also to talk to the people about the same problem that the cattle keepers, despite the conference which was held here in Muntri in January, they have somehow defied the order, the resolution for them to leave the state.
What is the extent of damage caused by pastoralists encroaching on the lands of farmers?
The impact of this cattle being here has been negatively felt in many areas. First, some farming areas have been totally destroyed. Beehives have been thrown down from top of trees. Some farming areas now have become so hard because of the movement of cattle, which has caused land erosion. Thousands of people have been displaced from their villages, living in fear. People are no longer free to go to harvest their honey. People are no longer free to go to the riverside for fishing. So the impacts are very vast.
My understanding is that this is not the first time order is given for cattle keepers to leave Western Equatoria. How easy is it to implement such orders?
Based on the reports of many violations of the orders that have been issued by the county commissioners, by the state governors, and those who are not honored by the cattle keepers. But this time now, it is the president himself who has issued this decree, because the issue of cattle has now become a national problem. It is the second highest insecurity in the country. It's not all in Western Equatoria, but all over the country. On daily basis, you are hearing hundreds of people have been killed just because of cattle. And more importantly, when these cattle keepers are not in their own home states, they become unruly.
These cattle keepers are South Sudanese, like you and me. Why is it very difficult for you to sit down with them and tell them that it is very important to coexist peacefully rather than, allow me to use your word, being very unruly?
It is the culture that has changed them to be that way. For them, they are there to protect themselves against whoever attempts to raid their cattle. So for them, talking or reasoning is not in their vocabulary. Dialoguing and solving problems mutually is a sense of being cowards. So for that matter, they are not able to listen to anybody.
That's Sapana Abui, Deputy Governor of Western Equatoria State. He was speaking to me from Mundri West County earlier today. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what are officials doing to improve education in South Sudan? That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can we improve on youth employment in African countries?
I think it is important that if those who are dropping out of the schools can be taken to vocational schools, and even those who are not in the schools can also do practical works in agriculture, and this would need skill trainings and also provision of equipment and tools to work.
Yeah, that one, it is through by training the youth. If you came for, if the foreigners come, they have to train youth about the leadership skill, and that one will improve the youth.
The way we can improve the youth employment in our country, in the African countries, is by being creative. If we youth, it is better for us to be creative than to be employed by the government. We have so many works to do.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. An advisor to the caretaker governor of northern Bahr al-Ghazal state was released from detention this week. Yel Deng Wel was arrested in January by military officials, and his detention was ordered by Paul Malong, the chief of general staff in the National Army. The advisor was released after numerous pleas from his family. Abraham Agot has this report for VOA from Awil.
Family members of Yel Deng Wel were thankful for his release. Deng's brother, Santino Bol, says despite the hardship, the family members continue to believe that justice would prevail.
We, the family members of Honorable Advisor Mr. Yel Deng, are very happy for the release after he has been jailed for 3 months. On the 6th of this month, he was released by the Chief of General Staff, saying that he has forgiven him because the allegations given to him were unfounded allegations.
Bol says his brother appears to be relatively healthy after his detention, and he says Yel Deng will work amicably with the National Army's Chief of General Staff, Paul Mulonga Wen, despite any past animosities. He believes his brother should be considered a hero.
And we are proud of that.
We are proud that Yel did not make any crime against the government or even against an individual, so long as he is released and he is healthy. There is nothing else we can say because Yel was a junior officer in the army and he was a hero. He was the right person working with the Chief of General Staff at the time of war, and up to date, there is no any difference between them.
Will confirmed that his arrest on January 3rd was connected to a political role in the state.
The root cause of my detention
was that on the 3rd of January 2015, we were having an SPLM Liberation Council meeting in the state capital, Awil. Before the meeting, the Chief of General Staff of the National Army ordered the Commander Major General Santino Deng Wol
to arrest me and be released after 24 hours, but I remain under detention for 93 days.
Well says despite his long detention and lack of contact with outside world, he was not mistreated. He would like to redress his detention in court of law, but says that is not going to happen.
For these 3 months and 3 days, and just now released like this, simply without any charges, without any court, I'm not happy. But I don't have power to follow because I tried, but I can't.
Yell was appointed by the current caretaker governor of the state, Kwela Gwirkwel, late last year as an advisor for the service development. Kwel says he has no comment on Yell's arrest because he was not involved. Numerous attempts to reach Paul Bolonga Wen for comment were unsuccessful. For VOA News, I'm Abraham Agoth reporting in a wheel.
A new global education report finds that South Sudan is still failing to provide universal primary education to its children and ensure equal access to learning for girls. The 2015 Global Monitoring Report, dubbed Education for All, was released today in Juba and other capitals around the world. Charlton Doki has more for VOA from Juba.
Staff, administrators and students from more than 24 secondary schools and 10 primary schools gathered at the WOW Youth Center. Officials told them the Back to Learning program is critically important for Western Baal Ghazal. Education Ministry officials say around 40,000 children in the state have dropped out of school.
We apologize for that mixed up in the tape, but we have Charlton Doki with that story right now from Juba.
In April 2000, global leaders agreed to try to achieve 6 Education for All, or EFA, goals by 2015, including expanding early childhood care and education, achieving universal primary education, and ensuring equal access to learning and life skills. According to the report, South Sudan performed fairly well on achieving some of the goals, but not so well on expanding early childhood care and education, especially among vulnerable children. The report says the enrollment rate in pre-primary education remains less than 18% nationwide. Other countries that fall into the same category include Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Timor-Leste. Education Ministry Undersecretary Michael Lopuke-Lotiam acknowledges South Sudan must do better in providing early education.
A little effort has been done by the government. However, the government has done it through encouraging private sector to really to maximize the opportunity in order to avail. And it is one of the also the most expensive education demand, especially for us.
Before the fighting broke out, the government said about 41% of the country's children were enrolled in primary school. Now the authors of the report say it's far less than that, but did not provide a percentage. Other countries have higher numbers of out-of-school children, such as India and Pakistan. Lotiam says the government is doing all it can to encourage parents to enroll their kids in school. He says the government is providing what is known as capitation grants to every school regardless of its location.
Today we have over almost 3,000 primary schools in the country that are benefiting from the capitation grant. We have almost 300 secondary schools that are also benefiting from capitation grant. And this capitation grant is made in a way that for every child that is enrolled in primary school, that child, the government pays or give out 39 South Sudanese pound, then plus 5,000 South Sudanese pound. That gives you the amount of money that particular schools get in order to improve the quality of teaching in the school.
The report ranks South Sudan as second to last out of 146 countries under the category of trained teachers, right ahead of the West African state of Guinea-Bissau. And another disturbing fact, according to the report, the ratio of pupils to trained teachers is higher than 100 to 1 in South Sudan. UNESCO representative to South Sudan, Salah Zaki Khalid, urges the government to ensure that teachers are properly trained and motivated.
We need to see more commitment in terms of government expenditures, the budget to be increased for education. as education is the key. Teachers are the key pillar of the entire education sector. So we need to see their status improved, salaries to be paid on time.
The report also finds that South Sudan is unable to provide quality education due in part to the shortage of textbooks in most of its schools. It says the textbook-to-pupil ratio in South Sudan ranges from 2 to 1 in Central Equatoria State and 11 to 1 in Unity State, where sporadic fighting continues. Khalid says the international community and donors expect South Sudan to do more to improve its education sector.
The international partners need to see more commitment from the side of the government. The conflict is not helping this. And peace has to be reached as quickly as possible so that there is trust and confidence in the situation in South Sudan. The government can show commitment for the international partners to help. The international partners should not be seen as the ones having the responsibility of doing everything. No, the international partners are to assist the government. So we need to see more commitment by the government.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
And thousands of children in western Bahr al-Ghazal could be heading back to school soon. Officials in WAU have launched an initiative called Back to Learning, which is part of a nationwide program aimed at getting South Sudanese children back in the classroom. Dimo Silvia Oralio reports from WAU.
Staff, administrators and students from more than 24 secondary schools and 10 primary schools gathered at the WAU Youth Center. Officials told them the Back to Learning program is critically important for Western Bahr al-Ghazal. Education Ministry officials say around 40,000 children in the state have dropped out of school in recent years. Western Bahr al-Ghazal has been largely spared the violence of 16 months of conflict in other parts of South Sudan. But students here leave school for other reasons. One of them is 16-year-old Salma Matthew. She left school 4 years ago because she could not afford the school fees.
My grandfather was the one supporting me. After he died, there was no one. I live with my sister now, but could not afford to pay my school fees. I've been out of school for 4 years now. When I see friends going to school, I feel very disappointed. I dreamed of becoming a doctor.
Economic difficulties force many children to drop out of school. But girls like 21-year-old Nancy Mariano often leave for another reason. Mariano got pregnant 3 years ago and dropped out to have her baby. Her parents were disappointed when she left school. But with the launch of the Back to Learning initiative, she has decided to return to classroom. She sees education as a way to build a better life for herself and her child.
I want to make a change in my life through education. I want to have a paper, a document, that will allow me one day to support myself and my child.
Education Ministry officials say they will build temporary structures to accommodate the additional pupils the Back to Learning initiative brings into classrooms around the state. Officials say they hope more room for learning will improve overall student performance. Malik Adam is Director General of Western Bahr al-Ghazal's Education Ministry. He says the Back to Learning program will help thousands of children and create hundreds of jobs.
About 40,000 students are going to benefit from this program. 400 teachers are going to be deployed in this program. 150 PTAs, Parents and Teachers Association, 90 schools are going to benefit.
Western Bahr al-Ghazal Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan says the state needs to get to the root of its school dropout problem and come up with long-term solutions that will keep children in classrooms. He says he has asked the Western Bahr al-Ghazal Education Ministry to present the State Assembly with a draft law that tackles these issues.
We need to address why children drop out of the school. We all know war and economic problems have forced most of them out of the school. But it could also be learning space. It could be economic difficulties. It could be security.
For VOA, I am Dimo Silva reporting.
And that's our broadcast for tonight. Thank you for joining us and see you tomorrow.